Rhett is dead.
I didn't do the intro.
Oh.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Music Dudes and Sci-Fi Geeks, where we take a year, a full year off. We welcome the new year in January, and then we don't do anything for 11 months.
And we, for the last 11 months, we have been
so busy.
We preparing for this podcast.
Yeah.
So busy.
Watch so many shows.
Oh my gosh, I have so many notes.
Do you?
Or I got here late and didn't know if we were definitely doing a podcast or not.
Yeah, dude.
It was like, well, you still want to do one? I'm like, well, I mean, if you're up for it, maybe.
Stop. I was like, you coming?
I get a text that says, well, you could come over at like 6:30, maybe. I'll get a hold of you soon. Talk soon. And I'm like,
I am going to read.
6:45. Are you coming over?
I'm going to read. You said, what's the podcast plan? Given your current mental state, I thought, well, it's up to you. I'm at the Grinch with my girls. You could come over.
You could. You could come over. Where are you?
You could come over for dinner at 6:30 for tacos and
uplifting, happy, uplifting, encouraging conversation.
Talk soon.
At 6:30. You could come over at 6:30.
And then you said, love it. I'm like, oh, great.
Love it to talk soon. I thought you were going to get a hold of me.
No.
You could come over.
Oh,
well, if you wanted, you could. I read everything as...
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Music Dudes and Sci-Fi Geeks, the only podcast where we argue in the intro, and that's about all. I'm on my starship.
Oh, man. We are so bad at this.
PanCop Copticon.
Should we just quit?
We will after this one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Farewell episode.
No, we're going to get on track and do it regularly episode, right?
We promised
it last time a year ago. A year ago, we were like, and we're back. We're back, and we are committed to providing our three people friends with a limited amount of entertainment.
We got two more listeners.
Oh, man. That's right.
Julie Hackler listens to us when she falls asleep.
Which is the hope. There's ASMR,
and then
there's the Music Dude Sci-Fi Geeks podcast.
Ooh,
those are the best.
Oh, these are a pan. I just want to pan me over here.
Yeah,
and you over there.
Okay, now I'm on the right side.
How's that feel?
Oh, so good.
More intelligent.
It does.
Okay, good.
Is the recording going to be like this?
Yeah, that's how they all are. I pan us every time.
Make sure you don't pan one of them too much, because then it won't pick up. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's good. So, this is our second attempt at this podcast because I had to restart. So, we're going to talk about real quick the movies that we've seen in the theaters in the last year, 2018, 3-point rating system.
Yeah, which I contended that. I mean, there was a point of contention for us.
I understand that.
A moment ago. We almost quit.
But you settled. You settled for my scale.
I felt like it was compromise.
You settled.
Like, there's a one, a two... Two and a half.
No.
And a three.
No, because you know how Mr. Sunday movies, they say best movie ever or worst movie ever. And I'm like, no, there's got to be three.
All right,
so fine. I'm saying you got to own it. You got to see it once.
Got to own it. See this movie.
Yeah.
See this movie.
See this movie.
Yeah, let's just say see this. And let them decide how many times they want to see it. I just feel like it's a little controlling to tell somebody.
Okay. And then
how to spend their money and their time.
And then the worst one is don't even bother.
Don't see this movie.
So number one, Infinity Wars.
All right, we have to Lethal Weapon this. Is one the best and three is the worst, or is three the best?
No, one is the best.
One is the best. So when we put the little ratings on the side, like one, out of three.
There's no soft copy version of this.
They'll get it.
Okay.
They'll get it in
an
email.
Then flip-flop. Then flip-flop it. Flip-flop. So do 3 stars, 2 stars, 1 star.
I like this. That's better.
Three stars.
Gotta see it. Multiple times. Own that.
Okay.
Okay. Infinity Wars.
3 stars.
Infinity Wars part uno.
Yep.
Is three. Yeah. Three flashing stars.
I liked it.
It's a great movie.
Was not
my favorite Marvel movie.
Right.
But it was a great movie.
Logan.
Yeah. I was going to say, that is technically Marvel. My favorite Marvel Studios movie is Civil War, probably.
That was awesome.
That movie's amazing.
It's good.
They made...
It's the best Iron Man and the best Captain America film.
Yes. Agreed. It is the best Iron Man film.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Iron Man. It's It's Captain America.
I understand that, but it is the best Iron Man movie.
It's awesome.
Because it's more Iron Man screen time than it is Captain America, I believe.
For reals?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I have to look that up. Gotcha. But we don't fact check on Music Dudes and Sci-Fi Geeks.
Go on our guts.
We live in fantasy worlds.
We go on our space guts.
So I will say, Civil War is still the best. And I've said it before in other podcasts. I'll tell people why.
What?
Because there's no Thanos. There's no world-ending catastrophe. There's no threat to everyone as we know it. Existence is...
That's true. This has been my beef with all, like, things Superman.
Yeah.
It's always an alien conflict, a world-ending alien conflict, which is why I love so much the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight trilogy. I love all three of those films, not just The Dark Knight.
Yep.
Dark Knight Rises, I think, is great. And it's talented guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's based on brilliance and endurance and wealth and engineering and madness and not, you know, aliens and superhuman anything.
Yeah. And the Civil War is based on repurposing a side overused, really not that great of a character, Baron von Zemo or whatever his name is.
I thought that guy was great.
Yeah. But they repurposed that character to be what he was in the movie, which was a great use.
Is there any mention of Infinity Stones? In Civil War?
No. Nothing.
Uh-uh. Yeah.
There's nothing enormous, and it's two people trying to figure out.
Yep. And it's total social commentary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anyways. Good movie. So let's get back to the movies that we're supposed to be talking about.
Okay. Avengers.
Anybody else want to talk about any 3 or 4 year old movies out there? Huh?
All right.
I saw this one movie when I was in high school.
All right. So second film also came out in May. Solo.
But why was Infinity War so good to you? Give me the highlights. I want to know highlights.
Cheese, I don't know.
Cheese would be good right now.
Cheese. So Marvel is a fun romp. It is comic books and cartoons that lend itself well to a screen and actors that portray them well and effects that are at their best right now, obviously. But the thing about it is when Iron Man started roughly 10, 11 years ago, they are still continuing in that vein, that style or genre, and they keep either perfecting it or they keep topping what they've already done. And so everything is awesome. There's the correct blend of humor, the music, the acting, effects, story. Everything feels right based on the movies that they set out to do with the original Iron Man. What was it, like 2007?
Yeah.
Yeah? So,
2007,
yeah. Okay.
7, 8.
So whereas the reason I think Star Wars fans are so conflicted, some people, they're like, no, that's not enough like the original trilogy. Some people are going, no, you have to make something new. I want it to be new and I want it to be dazzling. The last time I saw the original trilogy, it moved so slow. The cuts are so slow because it's decades old.
Right.
You know, whereas this has been incremental growth that we don't even feel.
Right.
But if you watch the first Iron Man or second or third, which really weren't that good, but no one cares to really take a dump on them like they do the prequels or they do Solo. And so with Infinity Wars, it's just like here are characters. Like, I've seen every Marvel movie at least once, but I don't walk away feeling like my soul has just been hit in the face because I still hold Star Wars near and dear to my heart.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was like my childhood. That's nostalgia. Whereas Marvel, I was familiar with those characters.
Right.
And so, I know enough about them to go like, oh, okay, cool. And I remember even years ago, I'm like, there's a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. What is that even?
Right.
I call you up. You tell me, you're like, well, I'm not really familiar, but it's like Marvel. What am I trying to say? Like teasing Marvel. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we're going to give a raccoon a gun.
Right.
And his name is going to be Rocket.
Right.
And you and I saw that film and it was totally entertaining.
And not to mention that we have all of the storylines that we have right now because Marvel lost the rights to the big ones.
Oh, Spider-Man.
And X-Men.
Right.
Those are your biggest, most popular comic books.
Right.
Those are the biggest characters.
Right.
And so we have the most successful line of movies that's ever been made.
Right.
Because somebody was like, all right, we'll make do with these.
Right.
And brought in great talent.
That's true.
To make it happen.
And those characters being X-Men was sold to Fox in the 90s or whatever. And then Spider-Man and Fantastic Four was sold to
Sony.
That's right. But now Spider-Man is on loan, so I've heard, for a number of years because Sony just can't
They can't make a good film.
They can't figure it out right now.
And then they made one of my favorite ones, which is The Homecoming. Spider-Man Homecoming is one of my favorite Marvel movies.
Yeah.
I loved that movie.
And it's
I loved it.
Not Sony or whatever.
It's Marvel Studios.
Yeah, Marvel. And then Deadpool is also owned by Fox as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas everything else is Disney. Anyway, I don't know. That's why I like it. I thought of all Marvel movies, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be owning. Like, I have all the Avenger films. I have Civil War because that feels like Avengers 2.5.
It's a great movie.
But I don't own any Iron Man or Thor. I think I own Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2.
Those are good.
Those are good.
Those are really good.
Yeah.
I like the first one probably better, I think.
But yeah. But in Infinity Wars, I thought was great. The tension between Thanos and Gamora.
Yes.
The fact that all of the heroes are separated.
Yes. Coolest scene. What's the best scene?
Jeez.
I already have mine. Because it made me like giggle out loud on accident like a little kid. Like a little girl. I was like, oh! I think I said something.
Man, when Thor drops down into Wakanda.
That was awesome.
That was great.
There are so many good development storylines in that movie.
When Scarlet Witch and Vision are taken on those two.
That's mine.
Was that? Yeah. And then Cap catches the spear.
See a shadow behind the train.
Yeah.
And then the wolf woman, whatever her name is.
Right.
She throws that spear as hard as she can.
And Cap catches it.
Cap just turns and catches it by the side of his head.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a badass. Like, just total. That's when I just giggled out loud because I didn't know, who it was going to be for sure.
And personally, this has been the best iteration of Captain America because he's just like, he's weathered and he's just like, I don't know how we're going to do this. And half my team is divided. And how are we going to do this?
And he represents America.
Right.
Right now. Yeah. No, I mean, he's actually a metaphor for America right now.
I get it.
He's just weathered kind of, and doesn't know.
And kind of pessimistic.
Yeah. And there's not a lot of unity.
Right.
And
he's dirty.
He doesn't know how to lead.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, he does. Right. But he's still like, he just doesn't know what to do when there's this much.
When there's a chasm.
Yeah.
So I've seen some of the YouTube reviews and people are griping in comments or on videos. They're like, why doesn't Thanos just like obliterate the whole thing? Like when Captain catches his fist and you see Thanos kind of like irk himself just a little bit to try to get Cap out of the way. Also like, freaking Scarlet Witch. He's like, why doesn't he just crush her skull? You know, all this stuff. He's like playing with them. I'm like, yeah, he enjoys the fight. He enjoys courting death.
Right.
And it's kind of one of those things.
They went away from that.
I understand that, but I'm talking metaphorically. I'm not talking about death incarnate.
I know, but I think that they completely humanized Thanos from the original idea that they were going to go with.
Totally.
The original idea was going to be, I believe, because they had the line at the end of the original Avengers that said
to engage them in battle is to court death or something.
Yeah. And then he just turns around and smiles
right.
Because in the comic books, Thanos is in love with the personification of death.
Lady Death is
a female. And so he's trying to destroy the entire, he's not trying to bring balance. He doesn't want the universe to succeed. He wants to destroy everyone. He is just death incarnate. He is the hand of death incarnate.
Right. Right.
And,
but yeah, in the comics, he's, I wouldn't say mindless killer, but
yeah,
like,
it kind of is.
But I wouldn't say mindless, a killer with purpose.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But his purpose is his own, and he doesn't care about anything.
Right.
And in this iteration, we have a Thanos who is, he represents, you could probably, link this up to a lot of different political or sociological ideas.
Sure.
Not even going to try to do that. Mm-hmm. But the point is, What's the greater good?
You can see his point, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, greater good.
Yeah, yeah.
So what will you do, for the greater good? And Thanos' point is that he's the only one who's got the will to pull the trigger.
Correct.
To do what it takes for everyone to survive well.
Right.
And then the response to that is, that's not up to you to decide, blah, 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 obviously. But he at least in, there's never been a Thanos who's, motivations were pure or good.
Yep.
Thanos was always, his motivations are selfish and that's it.
So after Avengers Infinity Wars came out, you and I saw it. I went on a Thanos graphic novel binger.
Right.
And I went to the library and put books on hold.
Right.
Got as many as I read the original Infinity Wars because I wanted to know.
Which is called Infinity Gauntlet. For those of you
that's right.
Because there is an Infinity Wars. You don't have to waste your time on that. If you want to read something good, get Infinity Gauntlet. That one's good.
Yeah.
Like 92.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Then, but if there's any sort of like celestial conflict in Marvel, you're bound to run into Captain Marvel, Adam Warlock.
Yep.
And Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
You know, Drax is always like, what team is he on? And he always looks different.
Right.
And so it's, it was incredibly confusing for me coming upon what, like 30 years of Thanos lore and right. going like, oh my gosh. And there's so many storylines. I kind of didn't know which one to
right.
chase down. Adam Warlock being one that I'm just going to like, what is this guy? And he's hinted at the second Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
And so he's coming and yep. he's a good guy and a bad guy.
Do we
guy.
Know who's playing him yet?
No.
I
but
didn't think so.
Based on the comic, he's a side switcher type thing. My daughter Rivers is so into Captain Marvel.
Yes.
That's her jam right now.
Yep.
And so
and that movie's coming out
in March, the end game in Avengers trailer just dropped a few days ago. I don't know if you saw that.
Still haven't seen it. We should do a first watch.
I've seen it.
I haven't. I'm saying for me, you can get my reaction to it.
Do you want
to
watch
live
it
live on a podcast for your listening pleasure?
Okay.
For those of you who are falling asleep, this will be our time to
talk. So why is it called an Endgame, Kip?
It's called Endgame because the game, as we know it, is coming to an end.
Because Doctor Strange.
Endgame.
Says we're in the Endgame now.
Endgame now.
When he hands over.
When he hands that over, he says.
He looks into 14.6
million.
Billion.
Billion.
Possibilities. Or is it trillion?
It's million.
Mm. Possibilities. How many do we win? There's one.
One.
And he hands over.
So then says, we're in the Endgame now.
All right,
that's
here
he says.
You're gonna have to.
I'm gonna take my headphones off, everybody. But I'm still gonna talk because we're playing a Avengers Endgame trailer. Oh, so we've got a space.
Just,
I'm gonna narrate.
Don't narrate. Just look at it.
If you find this recording, don't feel bad about this.
Hmm.
Part of the journey is the end.
Iron Man's lost in space.
Stop it.
I like the music already. That's cool.
Thanos did exactly what he said he was going to do. He wiped out 50% of all living creatures.
We lost. All of us.
Mm.
This is the fight of our lives.
He probably lost his family, I bet.
This is gonna work, Steve.
I know it is. Because I don't know what I'm gonna do if it doesn't.
Is that such a big deal? I wonder. He just thought he was dead.
He went into the quantum realm at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then that's the end scene in Ant-Man and the Wasp. He goes into the quantum realm, and then all the people that can bring him out
are dead.
Yeah, the snap gets him.
The snap gets him.
So he's yeah.
So he's back.
He's back. So he made it out somehow, which is awesome. The thing about this that someone pointed out, the Avengers that are left, it's the original team.
Right.
From Avengers 1.
Right.
Except
for Ant-Man.
Except for Ant-Man and then, what's her name? Nebula. She's there.
Oh, wait. Is this the...
Nebula's on the ship, I think, with Stark.
No. I know, but isn't this the original comic book Avengers?
I don't know. Let's look it up.
We do a lot of research before we do these things.
I think there's going to have to be something to do with time travel in this, which I'm totally down with and looking forward to, because I think someone will figure out how to do a big time jump, but it'll be perfect. And like, are the Russo brothers they did Civil War.
They're the best.
Infinity.
They did Arrested Development. I don't know if we've talked about that yet on the podcast.
Well, they're just good storytellers.
They're amazing.
And that's what you need.
There are Arrested Development
references.
Easter eggs in Civil War.
Or are there?
The Bluth truck with the nice stair truck is in the, when they have the big fight scene at the airport, it's in the back.
Gotcha.
That's awesome.
So all that to say, yeah, it's coming in April, and this is the very first like teaser trailer. It's not even a full length trailer. It was over 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, now we have 5 minute trailers.
That's true.
They tell stories on their own.
There was supposed to be an episode 9 trailer that drops this month.
Really?
Yeah. And again, you know Disney. It's going to be it's going to be 5 seconds. There's going to be more darkness than there is actual footage. And then I heard there's going to be a Frozen 2 trailer, which my girls...
Did Black Panther survive?
No.
He went away?
Yeah. And there was like one of his main top general, that gal. She's still alive.
Right.
Because she, you see this like look of just horror on her face. Vision's gone. I think Scarlet Witch is alive. I think.
The Avengers originally consisted of Ant-Man,
mm-hmm.
Hulk.
Okay.
Iron Man.
Check.
Thor.
Check.
And the Wasp.
Okay.
And she's not check.
So instead we got Hawkeye, Black Widow, and Captain America.
Yeah.
I'll take it. So yeah, all that to say, this one should be pretty good. And they're not releasing any of the what actors have renewed their contracts.
Oh. So we don't know who's going to die or come back.
Who's going to die? Who's going to
come back?
Everyone
comes back.
Everyone who faded off will come back. And in my head, I'm going...
Except for Vision.
You think so?
They got to kill somebody. They got to kill Captain... Captain America
I think it's Iron Man or Captain America or both, personally. I don't think it's going to be like Hawkeye. Anyway, we got to get back on track. What other movies did we see? Deadpool 2, 3-point rating system.
I thought...
Two or three stars.
I give it a you got to own it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 stars. Mm. And 3 stars, got to see it, got to own it. We have 3 different rating systems. I like it.
Yep.
No. 3 stars, got to own it, got to see it, watch it, over and over, multiple watches.
So I was mentioning this to you earlier. There is a PG-13 version of Deadpool coming out where he's actually telling the story of Deadpool 2 to Fred Savage in the bed from Princess Bride. Those are scenes cut into the film.
Say it again.
Okay. Deadpool.
Yeah.
Is reading the story of Deadpool 2. He's narrating it. You know how he's narrating it to someone?
Yeah, yeah.
The entire film?
Yeah.
So he's reading the story of Deadpool 2 to adult Fred Savage he was in from Princess Bride. So again, we just keep going meta.
Just keep going.
And Easter eggs. So
I love those movies.
Yeah, and someone else said it's even better than the original. I also mentioned to you that, you know, some... you know, hoity-toity people will be like, no, you know, this is art how it was originally intended. But I'm going, really, do you absolutely have to have breasts and the F word for it to be art? But at the same time, I'm not going to, I don't know, yell about it if they say, this is how it's supposed to be. Like Game of Thrones. They're like, no, this is how art is supposed to be. I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever then.
Russo brothers are doing Endgame, by the way. They directed it.
Russo brothers?
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's going to be awesome. Because they're just so good. Sorry. Had to get out of that. I had to get that done.
Gotcha.
We're back into Deadpool 2. I really like Deadpool 2 because it's like it. You're in it. You're fully in Deadpool zone within the first 2 minutes.
And Josh Brolin did a great job as Cable.
Oh my gosh. He was so cool.
He was awesome.
But I mean, in the first 2 minutes... he blows himself up. You see the head, a floating, a severed head flying towards the camera.
Sure.
And then they have the entire opening sequence is, did they really just do that.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And he's like, it's a James Bond intro,
right?
With all, and he's, you know, thrown back on the chair like a lady with right. all the bullets, you
bullet
know,
shells.
Bullet shells falling over him.
Coming down on him. Yeah.
And just everything about it was awesome. It's mm-hmm. constantly making fun of itself and just being, yeah, extra excellent. So Deadpool 2 is a 3 for me. It's not a great, great piece of film, but it is. Uh-huh. Because it does exactly what it sets out to do, just like the first one did. I remember seeing the first one and just jaw-droppingly mm-hmm. good. Just yeah. entertained the entire time. I thought, this is an amazing movie.
So, dude, I think Bumblebee is going to be the Transformer movie that we've always wanted.
I saw on a clip, they were playing a preview for it. Uh-huh. And I don't recognize anyone in the movie. I think John Cena is mm-hmm. the main person.
Because it takes place in the 80s.
Okay, that's awesome. And then it's Bumblebee's flying forward, and it's like, the Transformer movie we've been waiting for. No one's been waiting for another Transformer movie.
No, that we've been waiting for ever since they announced that there was going to be a Transformer movie in 2006. This is the one that we should have...
You think so, for real? John Cena is the main character.
No. The main character is a girl, Haley...
She's a good actress, I forgot.
I don't know how to say her
last
name.
The one from True Grit.
Exactly.
She's really good.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a stinking pile of turd.
Okay. But I like the fact that all the Transformers are G1, Generation 1 design.
Is it going to be good, though? Because who directed it?
Not Michael Bay.
Yeah, that's all I care about. So there's a chance that it won't suck.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to look it up. We're going to see who's directing this.
Okay, go for it. But again, I just, when I go to my nerd sites, they're like, oh man, it's got soul, it's got heart. And I'm just going, okay, well.
Wait, is it out yet?
No, it comes out December 21st, I believe.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see. Oh, it's getting a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. That can't be true. It's called Transformers, and it's getting good reviews. This is a Transformer movie getting good reviews. I would never have thought that was possible. Because, for those of you who are just listening for the first time to our podcast, and maybe you don't understand this, all of the Transformer movies... are, what's that word? Terrible. That's the one I was looking for.
The first one isn't terrible.
Yeah, no, yeah. It isn't terrible. It's not good.
Yeah.
Director's
I walked out of it. I walked out of it and I went, huh.
Yeah, like that was okay. So, oh my gosh. The guy who is directing this one.
Mm-hmm.
Also Bumblebee. Directed Kubo and the Two Strings, and I think that is a wildly underrated, great, great movie.
That's probably why he says why Bumblebee is a Transformers movie we should have gotten to begin with. And it's got...
This guy's... I like Travis Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Anyway... He also was the writer.
We gotta get...
Why do we gotta get anywhere?
Because we're talking about films. I wanted to recap. Ant-Man and the Wasp. What? I didn't say wasp. If
wasp.
You know. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
3-point system. 1, 2, 3. I give it a 2. I don't need to own it. I don't need to go out of my way to see it.
I personally...
See it once.
Personally enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
It's definitely a 2. Definitely a 2. And it's barely a 2. Because
I think
you got to see it.
I think, I think you enjoyed it.
While watching?
No. You enjoyed it more. Because I was seated next to you,
yeah,
laughing hysterically.
Oh my gosh, I gotta tell that story. So I forgot about this. I don't know why I forgot about this.
That's why this movie sticks out to you.
There
more.
Are funny things that happen in movies, and then there are things that only one or two people think are really, really funny. And in this instance, I was sitting next to the one person who thought something that was. Not even really a gag, but kind of was.
It's awesome.
It is. It was great. But in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Ant-Man gets shrunken down on accident.
He's in a high school.
Yeah, he's in a high school and he gets stuck.
But his shrinker is malfunctioning.
He's in a grade school, I think, actually. Yeah,
you're right. He's in a grade school. But his shrinker is malfunctioning.
So he gets stuck at like 3 feet tall. He looks like a hobbit running around. And so the Wasp gives him a sweatshirt, a hoodie to put on, and he has this hoodie up, and it's way too long on him. It's down to his knees. It's flopping at the hands, and And the whole time he's running around, Tyler starts laughing. And then he comes, he exits the school. She's already he's down, got, beat him down the stairs. He's going down the stairs one at a time, like kids do where they go.
And it's like
1 foot, next foot, 1 foot, next foot, kind of fast. So like 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, like down the stairs, each one with his hand on the rail.
And then his like long other, hoodie his other is flopping around.
Oh my gosh. And Tyler laughed so hard at this. During a silent,
but I there was, tried there's to
no dialogue,
it.
There's no music, like, there's no action.
I like slouch down in my he chair gets down, and I he's put covering my hands. His mouth
and he's laughing as hard as a human can laugh. And it, to the point that people started laughing and making noises because of him. Like he was the crazy guy. They're like, well, he thought that was funny, didn't he? Like,
dude,
calm down, guy.
I've watched that clip
since. Does it kill you every time?
Still good.
Oh, man.
Still gold.
And I thought it was like, I chuckled. I was like, oh, that's funny. And Tyler's losing his mind to the point where I was a little embarrassed. Like, I was kind of like, can you?
Probably because I also love, I love Paul Rudd.
Yeah, he's great.
Like,
he's
that so is good. A funny, funny man. And it just.
He's so good.
Like,
when he meets Captain America in Civil War, that is one of the best scenes ever.
If Michael Douglas had done that gag or
no,
Evangeline Lilly,
no,
it would not have
worked.
Been. Yeah, it wouldn't have worked.
Paul Rudd, the ageless one.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd looking the same since 1996.
Yeah, I was going to say 97. When he appeared on Friends, he was Phoebe's...
Yeah, but he was also in Clueless or whatever it was.
I never saw that movie.
It's gold, man.
Gold. That's gold. I've been on a Seinfeld kick.
I have not seen Seinfeld in probably 8 years.
It's still...
It's always good.
It's still
one of the best
great.
Shows ever.
Yeah.
It's top three comedy...
Sitcoms.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Think of the word.
What would you say the other two?
Arrested Development is number one. There's never been a show better written than that one.
Yeah,
I know. That's fine.
I know.
I'm just saying, like, when you look
I
at
I know
the
that
way
I'm the odd man out
together,
when it comes to
Arrested
Development.
That's fine.
What are the other ones? I would say The Office. The Office is... There's murmurs and rumors that they're going to reboot it, and I'm going,
no,
just let
don't
it die.
Do that.
Yeah, but I would, I can give it up for Arrested Development based on what everyone else says about
it's,
it.
Yeah,
and,
it's
like
just
I
ridiculous.
Can appreciate it, and so I would say Seinfeld, The Office, and Arrested Development, just based on it's just good writing.
Yeah, I agree.
Like there's so many times that people I respect talk about Arrested Development, and I've tried it. I've tried kickstarting that series 3 times.
I just don't get how you can't.
I mean, I
don't get it.
Remember when I was telling
you. For the same reason you laughed
I,
that hard at
I know,
Ant-Man coming
down
the stairs
stupid.
Is the same. Like, I can't.
You and I have talked about this, though. Like, remember, like, there's something about Pink Floyd where you're just like, no, I get it. But
I know, but I don't, like, I don't think that The Office stands up to Arrested Development. And just sheer, like, setup, writing.
Well, call it number three, then.
Oh, no, I do. I'm just saying, like, I can't understand, because I really think The Office is funny.
Mm-hmm.
So if I think The Office is funny, I think Arrested Development is a better version of it.
I understand that.
And so it's like,
I don't know.
If
maybe,
you think that stuff's funny, I don't understand how, you know,
I
like,
don't know.
Oh my gosh,
maybe I
so
just
smart.
And again, like, so the first season of The Office is very, very dry and moves very, very slow. And it's one of those things where someone goes, and it didn't really, you're like, oh, you got to get to season two. So maybe it's just one of those things where I got to just bulldoze past a bunch of episodes.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you just have to get to the point
where,
I mean, they're callbacks. The callbacks in Arrested Development are the best.
Mm-hmm.
Like the ones that they create an entire culture of joking.
I'll probably get it one of these days.
Oh
man.
My gosh. I can't, there's no other show that I know I can put on no matter how I feel. And yeah. I can immediately be happy.
Immediate.
I'm going to cough for no reason.
Okay. What else came out in 2018? Hey,
a lot of good movies came out in 2018.
The Spider-Verse is getting amazing reviews,
I know,
by the
I
way.
I want to see it.
Oh, Black Panther came out?
Yeah, Black Panther and Annihilation.
Oh, crap.
We haven't talked
you're
about
right.
Annihilation, which is a movie that I absolutely adored.
Oh,
absolutely
right.
Adored that movie.
I would.
Nobody
I would,
likes it.
I would. Is
no,
it
no,
the
no,
same
no.
director of Ex Machina? Because I was just about to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, same writer.
I would put it up there with Ex Machina.
Annihilation with Natalie Portman and what's his
Oscar,
name?
Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac
is in my opinion, right now, the most underrated actor in Hollywood.
We've talked about this because
you not on the podcast though, right?
Yes,
we have.
Yes, and your quote was because you actually don't see Oscar Isaac. You see Poe Dameron.
Yeah,
you see the guy from Ex Machina with a shaved head and the beard,
who's like running, who's kind of crazy and is a billionaire.
He plays Joseph in the Nativity Story,
which I loved him in.
Yeah,
he's great. You feel safe with him,
right?
Like, who can do that? And then he's the Lewis, whatever that movie was, where he's like a depressed guy. I can't think.
That's good.
Anyways, yeah, it's good. Thanks.
Annihilation.
Thanks, guys.
Annihilation was incredible. It's based on a trilogy of books, or I think 5 books. I actually don't know. But I went back and I'm just like, okay, I want to pour into this and see what people are saying about it. And it's based on a series of books. Kip, I thought you nailed it in the sense of, I don't want to give anything away, but there is an alien presence on the Earth.
Absolutely.
And we keep trying to figure it out. And so you go into this kind of what looks like translucent bubble and just things start happening. And again, like you and I saw it with Jacob and Stu. Was it?
Maybe.
I think we saw it with those two. And those guys, like Jacob is trying to break down like the science of it. And you're like, no, it's philosophy. Like they're reflecting.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We had to talk outside.
We as a people are destructive.
We're self-destructive.
We're self-destructive. Therefore, the aliens reflected self-destruction. And I remember you like, you did this like, Jacob's like, yeah, but the real person did this. But then like the alien did this. And then like the fake person did. And then like you take a drag. You're like, it's about self-destruction. And it was the coolest. And I remember just going like, yeah, shut up. Not like Kip's totally right. He just nailed it. He just nailed it in a sentence in the most coolest like execution ever. And then you just like turn away and do this like exhale of cigarette smoke blow. And I'm just like, yeah, we can go home now. I'm like, no, I don't need to break down what this means and what that means. That's it.
Well, it was one of those movies where
you don't have to figure out. Well, all you have to do is arrive at that conclusion.
And normally then, I walk out of movies and I want to talk about like, that was so cool when this, mm-hmm. I was silent. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of talk and mm-hmm. You guys were talking about it and I was just thinking. And it just hit me. I was just like, oh, Annihilation. Yeah. Like people venturing into something they know is dangerous. Mm-hmm. They're following in other people's footsteps. And every character who went into it mm-hmm. has either
had a terrible life or they're broken or they're
leaning towards self, like they have a pattern of self-destruction.
Well,
one of them was an addict. The other one has cancer.
Yeah. So this isn't any sort of like spoiler, but everyone who has gone in, knows they're not coming out.
Yep.
So they elect themselves as a candidate just to go like, you know what? I'm just going to go out knowing that I have no hope.
Yeah.
So they're bringing that sense of dread in.
Yeah.
And that's what the extraterrestrials are picking up on.
And they keep, you know, with Natalie Portman's story, they keep going back to like telling the story of her love for Oscar Isaac. And then you realize it's not that great. Like,
yeah, totally.
And like, you think it's going to be her. Yeah. The flashbacks are going to be like, oh, she's going after her husband.
It was weird.
And then, you know, for a fact that he went in there knowing he would probably never come out. And so everybody in the film who chooses to go into this, they live a pattern of self-destruction. And then the end scene is so, I haven't seen that one yet.
We need to see
the end scene is so good. Mm-hmm. It is so well. I mean, it's so well shot. They actually just so if anybody hasn't seen Annihilation yet, there's a scene with Natalie Portman and she's interacting with the intelligence, whatever it is.
Yep.
And the entire scene was choreographed by one of the greatest like choreographers,
no way.
Dance choreographers. Yep. That entire scene was choreographed by a dance choreographer.
That's cool.
And so when you watch it, there's this physical, there's a physicality to it that is both beautiful and violent and so well done.
I was going to say very, very eerie.
Yes.
Like to the point I'm going, I don't know where this is going.
Yep.
And
yep.
It was eerie.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't actually remember there being like music, but I remember there being musical sound effects.
Yeah.
That just adds to this like sense of just tension.
Yep.
That's all.
And it's one of those scenes that if you walked in and you have no context for anything just walked into somebody watching this on their TV at home, you'd be like, what is this movie about? And if you're looking at the how great the film is and what they're saying and what they're showing you, it's one of the coolest scenes I've seen in a movie ever. And
it is not a movie for everyone. It does not hand you the conclusion on a silver platter.
Not at
says,
all.
This is how it is.
Not at
not
all.
Not like the movie Ready Player One that also came out in the last year.
Oh, that's right.
But I just listened to our
so
podcast.
So what do you give Annihilation?
Three.
Three. I give it 4 stars. I just added a star for that.
I give it. I love that movie. It's a personal get out and see it, but it's also a.
You may not like it.
Yeah, this is a very acquired taste.
Annihilation is one of my favorite films in the last 10 years, mm-hmm. along with
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina and the Jeremy Renner, Amy Adams.
The Arrival.
The Arrival.
It is that. Okay, so those three films that you just listed, that is science fiction. That is true science fiction. Yep. Avengers Infinity War, this is not
comic books.
This is
fantasy.
Infinity War is correct is a This is the lore of America. Captain America and Superman and Batman and Iron Man. We've talked about this. This is America's lore next to Western films.
Yep.
Whereas obviously in the UK that you have Lord of the Rings and you have Sir Arthur.
Right.
Or King Arthur, I'm sorry.
I said right to Sir Arthur thinking, what is he talking about? Because I was just
King Arthur and Merlin. And that is
Sir.
That is
Sir Arthur is Conan Doyle.
Oh yeah, sure. Anyways, and so that's Avengers. We're still capitalizing on America's lore, like how they did that in the. That was awesome.
That was great.
In the 60s and 70s, it was just tons and tons of Western films.
Yep.
So, it's also capitalizing on America's lore because someone took beef with like the first Superman, Zack Snyder's Superman or Man of Steel.
Oh yeah.
And how many like citizens or innocent bystanders died
right.
in that movie because Superman's, you know, throwing people through buildings and cities are collapsing and, you know, all this stuff is going on.
That's what Batman versus Superman is based on.
Yeah. And Zack Snyder says like, that's kind of what happened in old legends. You had tons of innocents that died and it was horrific. Yeah. It wasn't completely won, fought and won in the black or the white. It's done in the gray.
Yeah.
And that's just war in general. Yeah. Sorry to say that, people.
Yeah. And Zack Snyder, he's like the filmmaker version of me. I kind of just want to give him a hug. Mm-hmm. Like, man, you got a lot to offer the world, but man, it's just like, never comes to, never comes out right for
I
you.
I appreciated Watchmen.
I love that movie.
I had no context for that, but I was just like, this is, what is
it's
this?
A great movie.
And I can appreciate that. I'm not going to own it, but it's been about 10 years since I've seen it. It's about time I see it again.
I will watch that movie like once every couple of years. If it's on, I get hooked. Right. I love that movie. But anyways, going back to what we were talking about, because you just made a really, really
science,
good
science
point,
fiction,
what true science fiction is.
Yes.
If there is a trilogy of science fiction movies, if you want to be in the head of, you know, Asimov and Herbert and mm-hmm. you know the great science what's the other guy's name
oh my gosh Robert Heinlein
yeah, Heinlein and Wells or
Arthur C. Clarke
there you mm-hmm. go if you want to be in their head
or Philip K. Dick who wrote Blade Runner
those are all psychological sci-fi movies.
Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, that's what it really is.
Yeah, and those three the
new Blade Runner
did
was
we ever
awesome.
Talk about this?
That came out a year ago though. That
okay,
was 2017.
So we talked about it.
No, we didn't.
Oh my gosh. That would be the fourth.
But we, you know,
that would be the fourth movie, and that movie's amazing.
But you know, we did in our Ready Player One, like getting ready for it, where we got super excited about the trailer, and then we never talked about the movie.
No,
we talked about seeing the trailer while we saw Blade Runner 2049, and you, me, Jacob, and Terry all said, "Whoa!" And Robin said, "What?"
Well, yeah, right.
So we talk about that moment, but then we didn't even talk about Blade Runner 2049.
And that movie's amazing.
I thought Ryan Gosling was incredible. He's just a great actor, if you ask me. Anyways,
Ryan Gosling is a very good. If you guys want to see some good movies, he's got a couple of bad ones. So don't hear me saying, don't hear what I'm not saying. Mm-hmm.
But he was awesome in The Big Short.
Yeah, and like,
with Brad Pitt and Christian Bale,
and he's got this string of movies nobody knows about where he acts really well, like. The Place Beyond the Pines is great. Look up his. There are so many movies that Ryan Gosling is in, and he's great in them that people don't know about.
Right.
Anyway, there are a couple of turds too, but anyway.
Should we quick define why science fiction? Those three science fiction films are the purest form of science fiction
because they take you out of the realm of reality, while you are firmly seated in the story. As if you are a human experiencing what they are experiencing. Like, mm-hmm. nobody Like, we're watching Thor and Ant-Man and Captain America as heroes over there, and they inspire us, and this story is way out there. And when you watch Ex Machina or Annihilation or The Arrival, you are the scientist. You are the person dealing with the unknown. Mm-hmm. You are the one having to deal with loss and pain. Real old, good, true science fiction was about the human condition, period. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can still pull that off with the Avengers. They're still doing that well, but not like these, like, you know, look at The Arrival and Annihilation specifically. Mm-hmm. They are extraterrestrial world, kind of quote unquote, possibly world ending kind of storylines. Mm-hmm. Beings show up that represent technology or a threat far beyond what we can understand. And yet you are firmly placed as if you're carrying a camera first person through that storyline. Whereas when we watch the Avengers, they're over there and they're fighting. Yeah. And we're like, yeah, go. We are spectators watching this great story. And when you're watching Ex Machina,
it's like we're in the Colosseum watching Gladiators.
Yep.
Essentially.
Ex Machina puts you, the ending of that. I just watched that movie again like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And my heart still sunk at that one time. You're like, oh, man, my gosh.
So I always cheat at my definition of science fiction. It's like, this could happen, but you don't want it to. That's how Arthur C. Clarke defines it. And then he defines fantasy as, you wish this would have happened, but it never did.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's total Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
And that's total Star Wars, if you think about it, a long time ago.
Yep.
Anyway, so what's interesting is you and I both talked about different directors achieving true science fiction. The Arrival and Blade Runner 2049 are both directed by Denis Villeneuve.
Yes, who's one of my favorite directors.
Currently right now is filming Dune.
Yes.
And you and I are stoked about that. Whereas The Arrival and Ex Machina is the director escapes me. I do not remember his name.
Alex Garland.
Is that his name?
Pretty sure.
Okay. So, four movies, two directors.
I just had them up.
They're awesome. If those guys ever get a Star Wars film, I'm in. If Christopher Nolan gets a Star Wars film, I'm in. I think the Russo brothers have lots on their plate, but they have been brought up time and time again because they are the Marvel golden boys right now.
Yeah, they are.
And also this happened over the summer, but it's not really like a this just in. After Solo kind of got mixed reviews, because it got mixed reviews, it tanked.
Yeah, it did.
You know, if 50% of your audience is divided, the entire audience is divided, 50% liked it. That's what I mean. That's not a success. So then stuff started to surface on the internet that Kathleen Kennedy was out.
Yeah.
But I think she's still in, but she's actually phasing herself out. And then they were going
How
back.
How old is she now anyway?
Probably in her 60s.
Yeah.
So they're going back to the drawing board regarding the future of Star Wars. I don't know if they're going to continue with the actual standalone stories, a Star Wars story. Like even though Rogue One I thought was a fantastic film, even though there was also rumors that
Rogue One is great,
that there had to be like 40% reshoots and edits, and like they brought in a guy to kind of save the film. So the vision of Lucasfilm going forward is not Kathleen Kennedy's vision, which is we are going to hire up and coming filmmakers or indie directors,
right,
like how George Lucas was.
Right.
So she's looking at all this new raw talent. And I think Bob Iger or the other leadership, whoever it is, just going like, you know what, let's actually hand it off to some all-stars, because Star Wars, I'm sorry to say, is so freaking important.
Yeah.
That we can't take risks anymore. Right. Cause it's been 6 years. We've gotten, we've received four different films. Two of them are good, you know? So I'm like, oh, so if you ask me, half of all of the Star Wars films, I don't want to see ever again.
Yeah.
And that's The Last Jedi, Solo, and all the prequels.
Who directed The Last Jedi?
Rian Johnson.
That's right.
And he still is getting his own trilogy. He's still doing
that. And he's a great director, though. I mean, he's done some amazing
stuff.
I
thought Looper was a great film. I just didn't like The Last Jedi. But you nailed it when we were reviewing it. You're like, no, the whole movie is about failure.
Right.
Every character failed at what they were set out to do. Everyone failed. And I'm just like, oh, that's humorous because the movie is a failure.
Yep.
Yep.
I hated film. Finn and Rose. Terrible.
That was the worst.
But then I also hated all the backlash and just racial crap that surfaced on the internet. And the actress that actually played Rose was like contemplating suicide.
Really?
Yes. I didn't just hear from any all the BS that surfaced on Twitter, I'm just like, hey, don't blame this girl for acting her heart out with a script and a story that I'm sorry she like was, I'm sure, excited to be in.
Yeah.
It's
and
Star
she did
Wars.
Great.
Yeah. And I'm just like, hey, you can not like that character, but just be an adult and shut your mouth about it.
Right.
So I'm super, super irritated just at, I don't know. Also, it's also the same freaking turds that griped about the fact that Finn, as a stormtrooper, was a black guy. I'm like, dumb. You're so dumb.
Yeah.
Get out of here. They're like, yeah. Oh, aren't they supposed to be all clones? I'm like,
no.
No.
That changed after the.
Yeah. I'm like, do you know anything about Star Wars?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that being said, Rian Johnson has made some great films.
He's getting his own trilogy.
I loved Looper and Brick. Brick mm-hmm. is amazing. Yep. That's such a good movie.
We've talked about that.
I know.
The Game of Thrones,
guys.
If you
haven't seen Brick yet, just go find it. Right. It's good.
So both Game of Thrones.
Weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Both Game of Thrones, guys, they have their own trilogy. So they're wrapping up the last season of Game of Thrones, and then they're going straight into Star Wars land.
I still thought The Last Jedi was better than everybody else did.
I still
really enjoyed it.
I agree with you to a certain extent. Right. I just don't ever want to watch the scenes with Finn and Rose.
No.
But I loved every single.
Terrible. Yeah, yeah.
Every single Rey and Kylo Ren scene.
Yeah, those are really good. When they take on the Red Guard.
So great.
Oh my gosh, that was so cool.
So awesome.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, that's why they, you know, what's his butt? Bad Robot.
J.J. Abrams.
J.J.
Abrams. Like,
I think the J.J. Abrams. J.J. Abrams is so good because, I mean, The Force Awakens, to me, is the perfect Star Wars film.
You said that. And I'm based on, like...
It's perfect. It's better than the originals.
I know.
At being Star Wars.
But I'm so just like, you can't.
I know.
You can't say that, though.
Right. Yeah. I don't know why or how, but it's perfect to me. I can watch that movie over and over again. Everybody in it's great.
I know. Because I don't know if I've told you this, like Empire Strikes Back is everyone's favorite. And I always chalk it up to that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you're right. But at the same time, I could care less about Dagobah and Cloud City.
Right.
But it's the feeling that you're left with at the end of that film. But I remember always getting distracted as a kid, and I was going to go off and play something else.
Yeah.
I didn't like it because it got too dark for me.
Absolutely. It's very dark and sad, and that's why Return of the Jedi was always my favorite.
As a kid.
Yeah. Because you get to see Luke, like, kick some butt.
Yeah. It got sunnier.
Yeah, it did.
So what other films? There was another one that I just saw that
we just talked about.
Ready Player One.
Yeah, and we never did review that, or Blade Runner 2049.
But we talked Ready Player One to death.
It is a...
Do you want to give it a 30-second recap, and then I'll give my 30 seconds?
Yeah. I can do this easily.
Okay.
Ready Player One was pretty good.
Okay.
See it. It's a two. It's two stars. It's a great, fun romp. Mm-hmm. It's not a great movie. Mm-hmm. Totally worth seeing. If it's on the TV, I would probably get a little sucked into it because it's fun to watch.
There you go. It's a two for me as well, even though the book was way better.
Book is so good.
Steven Spielberg, I think, did a good job with what he had. The effects are dazzling. But towards the end, I'm like, it got so corny with the kids just doing their thing that I was like, oh, geez. There's lots of adult themes, but at the end, I'm just like, oh, this got pretty kiddie. Blade Runner 2049.
I don't even know if I want to watch that often because it's so heavy and slow moving and it's so good.
But it's a noir film. It's a detective film. It's a film noir. You know what I mean? Set in a science fiction reality. Does that make sense? So people go like, it's so slow. I'm like, yeah, because he's a detective. That's what the very first Blade Runner was with Harrison Ford. And we've talked Blade Runner to death because we saw a trailer. And then we like, that's what we do. We see a trailer. We get excited. We talk a film to death. And then we never actually review it when it comes out.
Because then at that point, we're done.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm spent. Let's move on.
I don't even know if I want to.
Blade Runner 2049 is a beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's stunning to watch. It somehow captures the original. Like, that's why I'm so excited to see Doom.
The score is a perfect
so good
call out to the original. The original instruments, the original, like, like synth.
So good.
It's amazing.
I mean, and the once again, you feel like you are stuck in it with Ryan Gosling's character, and you're like, I was honestly kind of blown away how the storyline went.
Me too.
I was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, you feel that.
You have to know what kind of movie you're watching.
Yeah.
In order to appreciate it, though. Do not watch Blade Runner 2049 thinking that you're watching The Avengers.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Don't, yeah. Yeah, sci-fi is such a big genre now. It's all these like sub-genres.
Yep.
What would you call it? Hard sci-fi? Hard science fiction? I mean, that's a book genre where it's not space opera.
No.
Whereas Star Wars, Avengers, that's like space fantasy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would even call it America's lore.
Yeah.
Now, where it's like, hey, these are the comic books that have been
right
here for decades. That
these are, I would call it psychological sci-fi,
mm-hmm,
only because we have to. But that's what, yeah, like we've talked, that's what original sci-fi was.
Yep.
I mean, even Dune itself, well, that's pretty epic though. But
that,
Dune
I would say
gets you into the head and like the weirdness of what people are thinking, because you're always always in the characters' heads.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, you and I have talked about this. Dune is sci-fi perfected,
yeah,
and Lord of the Rings is fantasy.
Perfected, yeah.
That those are the two godfathers of that genre,
yeah,
that have influenced everything, and it almost transcends the genre. You have to read them.
Yeah.
Even though Dune, oh my gosh.
A beast of a book.
It's a beast.
I've read it once for sure.
But it sets up everything. The economy, the religion, you know, space travel, the houses, the political parties, how spice affects everything. You know, spice is what's needed to bend space and time for someone to travel from this, you know, side of the galaxy to that. But if you ingest it, then that also like elevates your mind.
Right.
You know, it's in part of like,
mm-hmm, kids.
They're okay.
So, yeah, anyway. Blade Runner, that's a 3. See it. It's amazing. It's hard to talk about that film because
I would say it's a 2 for me. See it once.
2049?
Even though I have it, but I would, if I had to rate it, I would say see it once and then it's up to you.
And you don't think that's a great film though?
I think it is a great
film.
So
you have to rate it a 3 though. You just tell them not to see it again.
No.
I can't do that.
Your version of a 3
where I don't really want
to
see
it. Your version of a 3 is move heaven and earth to see this movie.
That's 2049 for me.
I would say it's a 2. I'd say it's up to you guys.
I don't even know what world you live in. I don't know.
And I would say Solo is a 1. Don't even bother.
Yeah, you don't have to see Solo.
No.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, Chewbacca was the most interesting thing to me in that movie.
And I didn't care about that movie at all.
No.
While I was watching
it. I don't think it's going to get a sequel. I don't think anyone is interested in seeing a sequel. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of people that are interested in seeing a sequel. About as many people as are interested in seeing a John Carter sequel, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Hump of Mud.
It's based on some really, really good sci-fi books.
Yeah. That was Arthur Conan Doyle, right? No, Edgar Rice Burroughs.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
Hey, you just touched my head. That's
good. Sorry.
Anything else on that?
Oh, Black Panther.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
That came out a while ago.
Dude, it came out in April.
Seems like longer.
I know. It came out in April. Avengers came out in May. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp came out in like June or July.
Black Panther seems so much older than those movies to me.
I realize that. But I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Black Panther is...
a lot of people argue that it's the best like Marvel film. And then Infinity Wars. I agree.
I'm making a face right now
but
you guys can't see.
If you remember the Rotten Tomatoes thing, you're like, don't get me wrong, that was good, but that wasn't 96% good.
No. Yeah. Because Rotten Tomatoes is based on... if a bunch of people say, that was pretty good, it'll get a 98%.
Mm-hmm.
It's
if
the
98%, or sorry, if 98 people out of 100 say they found it favorable.
Yeah, that's it. That gives you a 98%, which is pretty easy to do with a movie that nobody's asking much of.
Right.
Or if it does itself well. Whereas you get a really, really good film and you're going to have, and then that gets like a 90 and it's like, My number one, like, I got to see that film,
mm-hmm,
is when the top critic scores, not just the critic scores, because you have to go to like the best ones. When the critic scores are like high, mm-hmm, but it's really contentious. And then the critic's score is like 90,
mm-hmm,
and the audience score is like 30.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that movie. Yeah. Because there's something going on there that it probably meant that the director had no desire to play to anybody's expectations,
right,
and the critics are like, man,
did you see Venom
movie? No,
me neither.
I love Tom Hardy. He's one of my favorite actors, and that movie just got pooped on by everybody.
So I've heard. I'm not even interested to see it.
I want to see it.
Yeah. Are you going to see Aquaman?
No. I have zero interest in any of the DC movies.
Yeah. Yeah?
I mean...
I don't know how they're going to do this.
Yeah. He's going to catch a spear. We're going to... I don't know.
Is he going to catch a spear?
It just seems like a lame version of Thor.
Yeah. No. Yeah, totally. Did you see Incredibles 2?
Not yet.
I did.
Was it good?
I really enjoyed it.
Because The Incredibles is my favorite animated film of all time.
You are correct. I love that it literally... it takes place immediately after Incredibles, so you actually see how the Underminer battle pans out.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
It is perfectly synced up.
That's awesome.
The thing about Incredibles 2, so if you think Incredibles 1 was like, hey, this is Bob kind of surfacing and people are reaching out to him and they want his attention and him to be the hero, Incredibles 2 is all about Helen, Elastigirl.
Right.
And
right.
So it, but the thing is, it's a corporation that's seeking her so she can then be the face of this
the new,
yeah,
movement.
And again, there's a lot of social commentary in this guy. And anyway, I think that pretty much does it for what you and I saw this last year. Are you going to see Mortal Engines?
I don't. What is that from? Based on?
It's not based on anything. It's,
really?
Yeah, it's original cinema, and that was what Peter Jackson, the guy who did Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit trilogies, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to create something completely original for the screen.
Right.
This is not based on books. This is not based on a comic, and so I can appreciate that. However, from what I'm watching, I'm like, okay, so cities are in motion, and it's kind of post-apocalyptic. I don't know. Just, again, based on the trailers, it's just not really into it. Yeah, that pretty much looks like we got that summed up.
There was Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Oh, God.
I don't even want to hear about it. Because Jurassic World, to me, was kind of a turd of a movie.
Yeah, even though you high-five Jacob and you're like, dude, that was awesome, dude. I was like, terrible.
It was like one of those movies where I was like, yeah, that was a fun watch. And then I thought about it later and I was like, oh.
We talked about this in a podcast and you said it was the, like, someone had said they wanted to set up Bryce Dallas Howard's character as like a true feminist. And you're like, that's the worst representation of feminist ever. She needed a man to save her. She messes up everything, her career. She lies to her family. She lets down everyone.
And she's terrible.
Yeah. And she wants to be in control, but she's not. And by the end, like, she's arguably, you could say, subjected by like what she's wearing, like the typical just damsel.
Yep.
You know, dress is ripped, you know, got to take off that extra layer of shirt to expose her body. Anyway. Not like anything was too revealing, but you're just kind of like, okay, it was typical cliche, just kind of damsel in distress that needed rescuing and not feminism at its.
And they're like, hey, we're going to give you a strong female character.
No,
it's the worst.
No, she is a stressed out, chaos ridden chatterbox.
Oh, yeah.
Who, and then you have Indiana Jones. If you think about it,
right?
Even leather
He's
jacket, you know, just like
that's
stuff.
Fine.
Yeah,
that's good. We can just call it that. This was the
Indiana Jones and dinosaurs.
This was the sixth and most terrible Indiana Jones film.
Jeez. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to know what I want to talk about right now?
I do want to know what you want to talk about right now.
Or do you have something pressing that you want
to? I have to go to the bathroom.
Should we pause it?
Yeah, let's pause her.
But I want to talk about Mistborn.
All right.
Right. So let's talk about what we just accomplished in the last 18 minutes.
Is that how long it was?
I don't know. I put my kids to bed. Jamie's brushed teeth. We all had cookies.
Oh, I want another cookie.
Yeah, you can have another cookie.
Thanks.
I made another cup of coffee.
Yeah. You did?
Oh,
is there any left?
Don't you usually bring over like two orange rock stars for yourself? You just got those just banging around.
Yeah, I was running late. I didn't even know if we were working tonight. You know,
if we were working. I think so. You're taking off.
Keep talking. I'm just gonna untangle.
So the last time we did a podcast was in January, and it was like, we're back, baby,
back for good.
Last year, what I really wanted to do
is I wanted to do one of those.
You want a cookie?
I'm good. Because I got a mocha right here. What I really wanted to do was one of those, like, see a movie every day membership things, mm-hmm. where it's like, it was stupid at the time. It was like $10 a month.
Yeah.
You could see any movie. And then the rules just kept getting tighter. They're like, well, none of the, you can only see one movie a day. And then none of the blockbusters on the day they come out. Okay, now none of the blockbusters.
And only while wearing red. Yeah.
So what I wanted to do is I actually wanted to try to get actual sponsors, and I wanted to revamp our podcast and just call it Sci-Fi Movie Review.
Yeah.
You got a piece of cookie. In
your I'm movie. Sure. Many more where that came from.
Yeah. And then just do movies coming out plus the classics, and you and I would watch a movie every Sunday night.
Yeah. This sounds awesome. I want to be a part of this.
We'd watch a movie every Sunday night.
Who's doing this?
We were going to a year ago.
Who?
Yeah.
I want to get on that gravy train.
Yeah, now we can't. Because now it's like $40 a month, and then you can only see one a week.
Is it one a week now?
It's so terrible.
It's like $30, dude. One movie a month. It's like, did I just pay double what the tickets normally are? We have blackout dates.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, yeah, I wanted to revamp it and call it Sci-Fi Movie Review, but nope, we're still stuck with Stupid Music Dudes and Sci-Fi Geeks, the podcast that just... Hey, we're into our... this is like our second year. It started in 2016, and we're ending year two right now.
Yeah, man. I mean, technically, if it was 16...
Crazy year
it's been. If we started early in 16, that's...
It was August.
3 years.
It was August 2016.
Shoot. All right. Well,
you were at Kangaroo.
I was.
Think about how weird how long ago that feels. Coming in with your huge Tupperware box.
Cincy. Little tiny puppy Cincy.
Puppy Cincinnatus. Anyways, you want to talk about Mistborn?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You're the one who wants to talk about it.
So
it's been like 2 years since I read that book.
I know. And I listened to that episode. You're like, oh, The Mistborn, you know, and we talk about it. And I was like, what
did I say? It was good.
You don't even speak about the world. Okay. You just talk about, it's a book by Brandon Sanderson.
Right.
He's like my new
go-to author.
He's my new crush, man. It was a little over a year ago. I read the book Way of Kings. I get halfway through it and I'm like, Kip, you got to read this.
Right.
I get it to you. You obliterate it in probably 3 or 4 days.
Oh my gosh.
What is it? A 1200 page book?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh crap. And so I'm like a day or two behind you. But when you get to the point where you have like, you're to page like 900, so 300 pages left.
Yeah.
It's all downhill. It's all downhill. And you're just
in a good way.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, exactly. And you know, characters are finally coming together. You know, there are conflicts that are finally coming to a head, and there's just multiple, climaxes regarding the story.
Yeah.
Then, right after Way of Kings, we read Words of Radiance, which is the sequel.
Yep.
It's all part of the same thing. Same magic system takes place on a planet called Roshar. And then Oathbringer comes out, months later. So that's the new hardback. You and I get that. I get through Oathbringer finally, and you...
I just stalled out.
You stalled out.
I'm on chapter 50. I'm like 400 or 500 pages in, maybe more. I don't remember anything.
Yeah. So you stall out, and then you tell me, they're like, no, wait, because you have more insight than I do. And you say, no, the Stormlight Archive, which is what those three books that I just listed are part of, you're like, it's actually part of a huger universe called the Cosmere. And essentially what is linking these stories together are these characters that can world hop. But on top of that, there are these divinities that are called shards,
right?
That have all come from a single, and again, Brandon Sanderson is Mormon. So there's a little bit of Mormon similarities. There is like one single like arc deity or whatever that I think was called, Adnalsium.
Yeah.
Which sounds very similar to Adonai.
Right.
So Adnalsium or whatever he is attacked by these 16 entities.
Right.
And so his his persona or whatever is split into 16 shards.
Right.
And then the people that brought him down become the shards themselves. And so what they're doing is they're taking on the persona, or they're taking on the will of the shards that are left.
Right.
Those shards being honor, ruin, preservation.
You gonna name them all?
No.
Oh.
But odium.
Say you know them?
Cultivation.
Right, right.
So there's a few. I don't remember all of them.
Dry eyes.
Okay.
I couldn't think of anything just then.
Sweet. Anyways, the shards that I know so far, three.
Sleepy. Dopey.
Stop it. Three of them being in the Stormlight Archive.
Happy.
Three of them, arguably, also being in the Mistborn series. And of the Mistborn series, it takes place... What decade am I thinking of? Or sorry, what century am I thinking of regarding Mistborn? How would you say it's different? I mean, it's...
like where the world is?
Yeah.
It's old
Shakespearean.
Yeah, I would say it's like post-Renaissance, but like fallen world post-Renaissance almost. Mm-hmm. Like, but that's kind of where they are. Like yeah. There's ships, there's... Uh-huh. There, I mean, it's late... It's, it would be, yeah, late Renaissance time. Mm-hmm. But not, but pre-industry for sure.
But there's
still almost.
There's fashion and there's.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, you have like the political houses.
Absolutely.
And what that means. And so.
Which would be like, you know, the Merovingian kind of, right. You know, whatever, Italy.
Yeah.
Late Renaissance, almost.
Sure.
Yeah.
So the thing about the Stormlight Archive and then the Mistborn series, even though they all take place in the same Cosmere, they have very different magic systems. And it's almost like there is a shard that can give talents or sets the rules of whatever planet that they're on.
Right. They change the physics.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Brandon Sanderson is a total nerd for all things science.
Right.
Similar to Patrick Rothfuss, but
right.
Sanderson just does it his own way. In the Mistborn series, there are 6 books currently. So there's 2 different trilogies. They're separated by hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
The first 3 has a character named Vin. There's 2 very different peoples. There's like the elitist people.
Right.
But then there's also this slave labor called the Ska.
Yeah.
And it's essentially the tension between those 2 peoples and what comes about. The magic system it's cool because it's all about metal and how you can bend and warp metal to your will.
Right.
Usually I'm not gonna explain everything.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Okay. So there's a certain type of magic that's called allomancy. Depending on the metal, if you are a misting, you can do one thing with one metal. You can push it, or you can pull it or something. Or as if you were a Mistborn, you can do all things. You
right.
can push on this metal, you can pull on it, on steel, nickel, brass, you can burn tin. So what you're doing right. is you take it, you ingest it, you burn it, and now some of the metals you can see in the future, some of the metals you can see in the past,
right.
some of the metals you can detect who other allomancers are.
Right.
Yeah, what I can do is, if I'm an allomancer, I can drop a nickel, I can push on it so it's on the ground, and now I can actually take flight because
right.
I'm pushing on it.
Right.
Anyway, so that's the magic...
Which does still kind of, like, correspond with the magic system in
yeah.
The Stormlight Archives, mm-hmm. which is, like, this idea of taking in Stormlight...
Right.
...and then pushing and pulling on things or whatever right. the... what do they call them? Bindings?
Bindings. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of the same.
Right.
And how there are people within different groups of ability. But in Mistborn series, it's very much there are the very few and unknown elites called the Mistborn that can do all of them.
Right.
And so they're kind of like superheroes.
Right, exactly. But what happens when a Ska is a Mistborn?
Don't remember.
No. That's kind of the premise of the book.
Oh, like, sorry.
That shouldn't happen.
Me.
No.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's kind of like that shouldn't
Ska,
happen.
Ska, the underling.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the slave labor.
The slave labor, right.
There's 2 other different types of magics. One is called Ferrochemy, and it's kind of like allomancy, but it's a whole different set of rules, but you actually wear metal bands around your arms or your wrists
right.
or you have a ring on. And it's the same thing. Different metals on your body can allow you to do something. You can...
play golf better.
Sure. Hole in one.
It's one of those gold.
And then the third one is
it's
called
good for the joints.
The third one is called Hemallergy. And that's the, that's kind of, I don't really remember like the rules or anything, but that's like the worst of all of them. That's like the evil magic or whatever. The Inquisitors, they all have Hemallergy. Remember that.
What's the third world, or this mm-hmm. other, the other series? Does that take place on the same world?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it does.
The second Mistborn trilogy
yeah.
is set, it's like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
It feels like Sherlock Holmes meets X-Men. There is no, I have not.
So Ven has already gone by the wayside.
Oh, hundreds of years.
Yeah.
There's a new Shard, like I was telling you.
Right.
Completely different name. Ven and Elend are the heroes of old. This is, like the Model T cars are now just in production. There is electricity. And so everyone's wearing like the long duster coats and bowler hats. And there's civilization, and then there's beyond civilization on the frontier, which is called the Roughs. And so, you know, guys go out there to be the law, so to speak, in the Roughs. And so, but yeah, there's not one actual Mistborn Allomancer.
I'm gonna come on back here with
you.
Yeah.
There's not one Mistborn Allomancer that I've encountered yet.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone.
So the rules changed with the changing of the.
I don't know yet, and I'm sure in the. So I'm on the second book. In the second trilogy, which is called Shadows of Self.
Okay.
Are
you reading the books, or did you get the audiobooks?
I got both. I'm pounding through the audiobooks by day, and then I'm reading them by night. Dude, I want to get through this trilogy, and then I want to slam out Elantris and Warbreaker. And then that's all the Brandon Sanderson Cosmere books.
Cool.
Yeah. And then.
For the until like 2080. When he finishes Stormlight Archive, 2080.
The fourth Stormlight Archive book comes out a year from this February.
Wow.
So he's banging away on it right now. And I listened to a podcast on which took us back to like early 2000s, where he meets with his editor and he's all like, this is what I want to do. 30 books, all in a thing. And he starts interweaving all of them. He's like, and then this trilogy is going to be a lot about this. And then this trilogy. And he's like, he's talking about trilogies in like, and explaining them in a matter of seconds.
Wow.
And his editor goes, you're really ambitious. Like, that's truly what they said. And he's in a room, he's at a conference of like all of his fans. They're asking him these deep questions. They've read all of these things. And so like, I'll listen to a podcast like that and then slightly spoil like a story for myself. And I'm like, oh shoot. And so essentially what I want to be able to do is like get into those podcasts and like understand the deep secrets that or connections that I didn't put together, because people like you do, and I just don't. I'm not quick to pick up on that stuff. I don't know. Maybe I look at a book like I don't know. It's like a feat of strength. Like I want to blaze through it. I want to get done with it. Whereas like the journey of reading a book is something different. Anyways.
Yeah.
Second trilogy, those two books. And then I think, I don't know what else. I think there's a series of graphic novels that he has on a different world.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's going to do another.
Dude's prolific.
I know. He's going to do another Mistborn trilogy. That's a third trilogy.
Okay.
And it takes place in a 1980s thriller
setting. Wow.
Then he's going to do a fourth Mistborn trilogy, which is set in the future. He said it's like the Mistborn meets Dune.
Oh, that would be cool.
And when I heard that, I went, okay, I'm in.
Yeah,
and then I'm like, okay, let's blaze through these trilogies because I want to know, I want to get there.
He's like secretly a sci-fi author,
correct? Yeah, Brandon Sanderson
made his name in fantasy.
Yeah, he's awesome, and I love the fact that he's not like Patrick Rothfuss. Like Sanderson is banging them out.
I think Rothfuss is. I mean, he writes like 3 or 4 words a day. I think on that book, he's getting about 3 words done a day. Then
he said a good writing day for his is a page a day. But he's not, I don't think he's writing anything right now.
What does he do? Just sit around?
No, he's got a charity. He's got a, where they've raised like millions, his cool. world builders charity, which is awesome.
Yeah,
I'm glad that he's doing that. I'm over here going like, great, I'd love to read your story when you get around to it.
Yeah, he might want to actually keep doing the thing that brings him the notoriety.
Right.
By which he can have charities. Yeah. I mean, I'm not faulting the guy. I'm just saying, like, you know.
Sure.
Like, stuff dries up.
I know. You know? But yeah, he's got a website. He's got a blog. And that's how he's staying engaged. Yeah.
You remember that half story I wrote 20 years ago? All right, give me some money.
But
a charity over here. Bing, bang, boom. Let's get this done.
Yeah, the second book he did was 2010. So 8 years ago.
Isn't that weird? Whereas Name of the Wind was 2007. So 2007, right. 2010, I'm like, all right, let's start. And then I read those two books in 2012. So I'm thinking the third book is going to drop any day. I'm like, yeah, it's been 2 years.
Well, I never finished the second one.
Yeah, you didn't?
No.
I read those two books when Rivers was a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a newborn. And that was...
And she's 17.
She's just turned six. She's 17. Anyways, so regarding the Mistborn, like, what do you remember? Because I remember you describing it to me, and I'm kind of like, I don't know.
I mean, what I remember is, what's the other guy's name is Kelsier? Yeah. What I remember, I don't know why I just asked you that. I don't even know if I'm going to reference him or not, is thinking that this is a really good, fun read.
Mm-hmm.
And that Sanderson is good at, he's great at action scenes,
mm-hmm.
and describing the, I mean, not to get too nerdy about it, but like the magic system.
Correct.
He sets up great systems.
Because he's all about physics.
Yeah. And he's just all about person. Like Dungeons and Dragons too.
Right.
Like having the rules. What are the rules? Mm-hmm. And you as the reader... And he does a good job of it not being real. Like, I've joked about it with the Stormlight Archive ones where it's like, and then he put on his whatever breastplate and gave him plus 10 strength, you right. know, whatever.
Yeah.
And how it does read sometimes. Like, it's like a dungeon master giving the rules about how this whole...
Reads like an RPG?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I just remember with the Mistborn specifically, it... kind of getting weird towards the end,
mm-hmm.
like trying to understand what was happening exactly.
Yeah. With the Lord Ruler.
Yeah. And all that, like what happened there? Like that's still misty to me. Play on words.
And, it all makes sense. End of book three.
I figure.
Yeah.
I mean, I figured there's gotta be more to that because I didn't quite understand. But it's an easy read and it's fun. Mm-hmm. And I don't really care about the character of Vin all that much is the only thing I didn't like about it. I do, but I don't. Like, come book two, that's what it fell out for me. I stopped caring about her.
Did you?
I just did.
Yeah. I think end of book two, you really start to care about Elend.
Okay.
Sazed is awesome.
He's amazing.
The thing about the Mistborn is it's you have this guy, Kelsier, who is essentially assembling this crew of Ska slaves. People because he wants to overthrow the Lord Ruler. The Lord Ruler is the one that's keeping the peoples separated. He won't let them intermingle, even though the elitists will take on not concubines. They'll have affairs with this right. slave labor people, and they just have them executed. Like, they're nothing. They're like right. dogs.
What defines the Ska and the elite group again? What was it? Is there any reason for it? I do remember what it's based on. It's based on those who supported the Lord Ruler at the beginning or not.
You're correct. Allomancy.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So when you have Ska that actually have allomancy, that means the elitists, right. What are they called?
Like, I can't remember.
Imperialists or nobles.
Light eyes.
Duh. No, it's called, it's not light eyes. It's the nobles. That means that you have noble blood in you,
right.
which means someone came and started a family accidentally without being executed. And we can't right. have this. There needs to be slave labor in order to make this happen. And so,
there's a shadow at the door.
Oh my gosh. That freaked me out.
Isn't that scary looking?
Oh my gosh.
It was a face.
It's just Nikki.
It's just Nikki, but still it's kind of scary. Just seeing like a,
should we just stare at her?
The shadow knows. Comes in drunk 2 a.m.
Roller skates.
What kind of mother are you?
Yeah, they're awake.
Yeah, they're waiting on Nikki.
So we're back.
Dude, Nikki's still skulking around.
Slinking around.
Just slinking.
Trying to not be noisy, but still banging around.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking about the Mistborn. One thing that I just wanted to share about the world is it's one of those... Mom, you're ruining all of this for us.
She's tiptoeing loudly. I don't know how one accomplishes that.
Trying not to draw attention, but obviously drawing attention to herself.
Arms spread wide.
Looking like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
Now what is she doing?
She's just...
just laughing.
She's just muppeting around the room.
Walking around in her sweater and her wool socks.
Aww.
Woolen socks.
Woolen.
So one thing I wanted to say about the world of Scadrial, which is the world in Mistborn, is that it's always raining ash.
Ash.
And there are the mists that come out at night.
It's here she goes. Raining ash. See ya. There goes the cat.
So one of those epic high fantasy books where you just kind of, you accept that about the world.
Yeah.
But then you learn throughout the books why they're there.
Right.
And it has to do with the powers that be. The deities that are there on the world being preservation and ruin.
Ruin.
Those are the deities. And then in the Stormlight Archive, there's Odium, which literally just means hate, and honor and cultivation. Those three are there. So,
Odium wants to rule the entire universe, entire Cosmere. Mm-hmm. So he wants to go from planet to planet. And I think he has maybe in the past or something like that.
There is like an illustrated guide as far as like what shards have gone.
What planet, right?
Yeah. Like the planet they're from and then the planet they're going to. There are characters that appear in the Mistborn series and then also appear in the Stormlight Archive. So there are like world jumpers and they literally know how to travel from one place to another. I believe Shadesmar is one of those kind of like doorway realms. Shadesmar kind of confuses me. Like, I don't get it.
I don't understand it at all. It's more, it's like a, like a spirit realm for the Spren.
Yeah.
It's where the Spren live, but the Spren are really just leftover powers from the shard shattering. Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm. From honor.
From honor. But they have their own place.
Oh, she's back. She did the cat box. No, go ahead and make noise, dear. Unlock the door. Yep. All right. There she goes.
So quiet. Like a cat.
There's the gate. This is where the podcast is really derailed. When my wife is here.
Have we been going for 2 hours and 25 minutes?
No. 1 hour. We're on to hour two.
You should. Anything else you want to add about Mistborn? It's really good. I want to catch up and then we can talk about it.
Okay.
But I don't want to give us.
She goes. Tiptoe.
Are your microphones really that sensitive?
That's cool. Now she's got to relax now.
Yep.
Everything's done.
No, she needs to make like a pail of tea. And then she goes through this ritual of pills.
There goes Nikki with her old bucket of tea.
Yeah, pail of tea. She'll come out in some pajama pants.
Does she use like one of those old timey metal flowering, like watering cans to pour it in?
A pail.
I like it.
Oh, she's just smiling every time.
Like, what are you boys up to?
Can you guys put the kettle on?
So yeah, what books are you into right now, man?
Oh, I can't remember the exact title of it. What's it called?
Oathbringer?
Yeah, that's the one. I haven't read a book in 6 months.
Oh, does that feel weird?
It is weird. Yeah. I do this a lot, but this is the longest stretch I've had.
You have been overextended.
Yeah. Not anymore. It's fine.
I didn't want to go
there. No, it's fine. I'm good. So I'll have a lot more time. And I'm trying to think of what I'm going to read. I got a billion books in my car. So that's going to be good. The greatest feeling.
Which reminds me, I want to do a live reaction. I have a gift for you.
Oh, right now?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to wait here. We're going to record. He is walking. He's running, and yet it's quieter than Nikki. He's got a surprise for me. His dog is roaming. Nikki's brushing her teeth, so that's good. Good dental care. That's great. He's got a little surprise. What is this? That's Nikki.
My brother's doing a little
he's got a surprise. Terry Goodkind, Blood of the Fold.
It's like book 3 out of 19. And I was thinking of you.
Where'd you get it?
I don't know. It's been so long. flip through that thing.
What's it based on? Like, which series is it?
His main series.
I think I have that.
No, you don't.
I think I have two of them.
Okay, well, that's good.
Did you steal that one from me?
No.
Hang on. Oh, gosh, it's good.
What is Nikki doing? See, look, pajama pants. I told you they'd appear.
This is my house.
It's
10:30 at night.
So, what I wanted to do is every time I go into an ARC or a Goodwill.
You're going to get me a Terry Goodkind book?
I'm hoping to just keep sending them your way.
You know? You do realize that, I had an entire box of his.
Did you?
Yeah. The Terry Goodkind books?
Like years ago?
No, I still have it somewhere.
Oh, well, tell me which ones you got.
I think I have all of them.
No.
Do you remember when I started reading this?
No.
You really don't?
No. I thought it. Okay, here's how I thought the memory went.
This is going to be so good.
Okay, I thought the memory was when you're like, Terry Goodkind, that's one of those series I always see and I haven't started collecting yet. That's how I thought my memory went. Or was it that, or was it Robert Jordan?
Well, I have most of the Robert Jordan as well.
Okay.
It was the ones that are Shannara ones that are considered a knockoff.
I can't remember his last
Breedlove.
Brooks.
Breedlove.
Terry Breedlove.
Goodkind Breedlove.
No. Terry Brooks. That is.
Terry Goodkind. You got me a book. That's sweet, though. That was really sweet. Just kidding. I just threw the book over my shoulder, really.
Well, get home and check and see if you have it. Or take a picture of.
They're like. Those books are like packed away at the warehouse. I have to get all this stuff out of the warehouse.
Yeah. Gotcha. So, all righty.
Stop. Just put the microphone in my mouth.
Well, that was incredibly anticlimactic.
Wow, wasn't it?
I'm sorry. No.
You get a live reaction of confused.
Dude, I got. The only thing worse is if you would be like, dude, I got you a book. And it's like the book I'm reading right now that we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes. It's Mistborn.
Mistborn.
Dude, I have this. Remember when I just said that? Anyway.
Oathbringer?
Yeah. What other. Have you heard of Elantris or Warbreaker?
I've heard about Warbreaker, but I have not heard of Elantris. I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm. It's Elantris is like his fifth book that he wrote that actually went to a real publishing company instead of just being self-published. Or
is it based on any of these? The Cosmere?
It's in the Cosmere, but it's the first book to ever like enter into the public, so to speak.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
what's it based on?
I don't know.
Oh, we don't even know. Warbreaker is obviously based on the. Roshar, right?
I don't think it is. Different worlds. Yeah, when we get done with this, I'll show you all the planets that are in existence. It's insane. There's like 10.
I would say Mormonism does make for great fiction. I mean, it already does.
Yeah. Orson Scott Card, dude, Ender's Game. He's banging those things out.
That's right.
Yeah, anyway. So, should we start to kind of meander away?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of it. Maybe we should just let it record and just see if anything gets good, you know? Like, I'll go get some coffee. Just leave it running.
Kind of like the Rick and Morty commercial. It's like, hey, oh, is this real fake doors? What's with all these real doors taking up space?
He's like, yeah, is there anything behind this one? No. And then, like, another commercial happens. Oh, no. He then leaves.
He gets in his car and leaves.
Nothing's out. Yeah, he's like.
Makes himself a sandwich.
Oh, is he just getting in his car and going home?
Yeah. I just watched that today, and then I watched the two brothers in a van, and then a meteor hits, and then it really gets interesting, and giant tornadoes,
my
Mexican armada invasion, tomato, dude, two brothers.
Manly men are coming, and they're coming loud. Coming when
turbulent
world,
juice.
Turbulent juice is coming for you.
Oh, gosh. What does it do? Is it an energy drink, or does it clean things?
Well, what does it do?
Was that a movie?
Is it for your skin or does it clean things?
That was
turns
awesome.
The toilet clean.
And the laptop.
Turbulent, they're mainly men are coming in. They're coming loud. Or coming.
What is it you need, Nikki?
Filtered alkaline water for my neti pot.
Oh, my gosh.
She's got a neti pot, this thing up.
What, okay, let's Let's circle back. Best movie of the year for you. We talked about Annihilation and Avengers for a good long while, I feel like.
All right. Yeah, those are my top three. Are probably Blade Runner.
No, that was 2017.
Is that?
Yeah, that was October 2017.
My goodness, I don't know anything about life.
Wait, let me do Oh, this is something we didn't talk about. We didn't talk about The Mandalorian.
No one's listening to us anymore, but let's go for it.
Okay.
Who's The Mandalorian?
It takes place after Return of the Jedi.
I know, but who's in it, you said?
The guy with the mustache from Game of Thrones who get his skull
Pedro
crushed.
Pascal.
That's his name? He was in that trailer you just showed me, the guy with the mustache.
Pedro Pascal.
Okay. Anyways, it takes place on the Outer Rim. It's after Return of the Jedi. John, how do you say his last name? Favreau. He's one of the directors. Bryce Dallas Howard, Taika Waititi. They're all directing episodes.
Taika Waititi's so good.
And it's like, it's getting like really big names. The, what was the, Apollo Creed from Rocky?
Yeah. That kid.
That guy. Mm-hmm. Not the young kid.
No.
He was also in Predator.
Carl Weathers.
Yeah, he's in it. And he was in Arrested Development.
He's in Arrested Development.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's getting these like big names. And so it's going to be a, streamable, show, and it's just called The Mandalorian, and it's just this dude where, like, again, there is no law in the Outer Rim, and now it's like in between
the Empire
and the New Republic,
right? That sounds really cool.
Yeah, but it's going to go straight to like Disney's new streamable service, and I think this is going to be the show to like kick it off, because Disney single-handedly is like removing all things Star Wars from Netflix, Hulu, wherever it's existing, because they're going to try to make their own Netflix and take over the world.
So stupid.
I know. But like, again, like I'm just really interested to see how that goes, because Star Wars does not have to be a budget that is like insane in order for it to feel like Star Wars.
Right. No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
The budget was insane in 1977, but by today's standards, those sets and prop pieces were pretty basic.
Right.
With what they can achieve now. And so, in my head, I'm like, maybe this will actually feel a little bit more natural than what we're used to.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And more time with
It'd
characters.
It'd be cool to get like a Star Trek version of it.
And that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, like easy sets and places that are interesting. Yeah.
And arguably this will be like the one Mandalorian character who's actually like worth a dang, because previously Boba Fett and Jango Fett have done like nothing to make us think that, oh wow, they actually are incredible.
No, yeah, there's not. Some like 70s looking porn star bald mustache guy playing Boba Fett in the original movies. It was like some state, like the guy that used to hold the microphone. They're like, will you put this costume on?
Yeah. For real, if anyone's listening, Google image the original Boba Fett actor.
Yeah.
He's got these huge glasses and this long mustache.
He looked like he just got busted for being too close to a school playground.
Oh, jeez.
You know?
Yeah.
He's like, he's Boba Fett. He's tough.
Yeah.
Boba Fett takes on this lore that no character should ever get.
No.
He nods once and then gets killed easily. Oh, he's so cool. Somebody busted his jetpack and he got eaten. Whoa, let's talk about this guy for a while.
Yeah. He's essentially the Rocketeer.
Yeah.
Worse.
But way worse. He doesn't do anything well.
Yeah.
He never catches anyone.
No.
That we know of.
No, yeah. He takes a...
He's around when Han Solo gets captured.
He just delivers car. Well, he tracks Solo though.
He tracks
garbage
him poorly. He then is there when Darth Vader catches him,
right.
And then Darth Vader hands him off to him.
He tracks him. He tattles, and then he's just a delivery guy.
And then he delivers him, and then loses.
Well,
him.
and then delivers him, and then just kind of hangs around.
Yeah,
why?
Why is he on that boat?
This is the guy I brought you in. Oh, you're going to throw him in the Sarlacc pit. Okay, I'm going to come along. I think he just wanted to hang around and like see if there's
I don't think he has any friends or family.
No, but he just wanted another job, or hey, there's a party coming up, so.
Hey, you guys going to the Sarlacc thing? He's like Tobias Funke from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Are you guys going over there? I was thinking about going over. I mean, if you guys were all going
or like
over there.
The dancing chicks. They
already have my helmet on.
They're cute. So he just, maybe if I stay long enough.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like when he gets hit and gets thrown into the Sarlacc pit, like I wonder if he was thinking like, I just wanted to party.
Yeah. Well, I suppose he's like one of the lone gunmen, like in the typical cowboy movies who like stay around the bar a little too long.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. It just, the whole thing smacks of, like, I don't know, an actual personality disorder, you know? Like, he's got some issues. He's not very good at his job. And this is the person they apparently made a clone?
Dude, he tracks Solo. And Solo's a slippery man.
And this is, like, his dad was the clones?
He technically is one of the clone. Remember, unaltered.
Yeah, but that's stupid. He's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
He's like he's the character in Star Wars that when he shows up, people are like, oh, Boba Fett's here. Did you invite Boba Fett? That guy just creeps me out. He's always just like staring at me.
Man, and I
he doesn't say anything. But if he does get talking, it gets real weird. Like bus stop weird. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like Waffle House. Like Waffle House weird. You know? Like you hear things. I don't know. It just creeps me out. He's coming over. He's coming over. Stop. He's coming over. Oh, hey. Boba. Boba. Is it Boba? Am I saying that right? Boba? Baba? Bob? Is it Bob? Robert. I don't.
He just stares and nods all the time.
Yeah. Is that a nod? It is Baba? I don't know which one it is. Oh.
Why do you have all these braids on your arm?
What are those from?
Wookiees?
Do I want to know?
Or Padawans?
Oh, good. Do you have any Christmas plans?
What's the name of your ship? Slave? Oh.
Oh. Looks like a stand-up play thing. We don't know.
I was really hoping Boba Fett would be in Solo. Like, I thought there would be some sort of...
They try to do something. But I think that they rightly and wisely did the thing that we all would want them to do, which is, the character kind of sucks.
I thought that he would come into the sequel. Like him and Han would have some sort of like, I don't know, it would be like a team up and then Han like...
betrays him.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Han Solo needs to not be the good guy. Because even in Solo, he was the good guy. Even though the whole time he's like, no, you know, I'm really not that good.
Guys, I'm kind of more of a cowboy. Yeah, kind of like how a kid describes himself as a cowboy.
Totally. And I'm just like, wow, you just totally weakened the character. Yeah, because
he
calls
his grandma on
now
a birthday.
Now he needs no redemption because he's kind of been redeemed the whole time. So that's lame.
It is lame. She's back.
She's adjusting.
Got it. We turned it down. Got that.
Turned what, like down to 61?
I think it was like 60. Which one is it? 60, 61?
Yep. Thanks, winner.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, so here we are talking about Star Wars again.
Yeah, Boba Fett. I mean, it's like giving an entire, you know, like following and to like the pig dude who just goes wah, 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 and gets eaten by the...
Good morning, guard.
Yeah, exactly, whatever.
Yeah.
We need to know more about that guy.
Nah. Keep talking. I'm going to show you some photos.
Oh, cool. Let's look at... He's going to show me the Mandalorian. I like that. I like the... why are we still recording this? It's just us looking at things on the internet at this point.
Yeah, dude.
This is when the magic happens, though. Really. Except for Breeze.
5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Finally. Finally a movie for the fans. You know?
Dang it.
So who is the Mandalorian? You got somebody looking for a runaway bride.
No, I'm not texting my brother.
Dang it, dude. You should text your brother back and let him know that his wife's on the way
home.
He's
good. He's good.
He's probably listening to this right now. If he's listening to it, it is right now. That's what's funny about saying something like that. It's kind of creepy.
Well, they released like, well, there he is. Yep, and that's what we know.
Wait, but he's not Boba Fett, though, right?
No.
Yeah, he's another Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
He's another one.
Why do we care about him?
I don't know, man. I think he's just a...
That looks cool, though.
Yeah.
He's a much cooler looking outfit than Boba Fett's.
He's just a lone...
Boba Fett's loose-fitting, you know, like bed sheets of a trouser situation.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, Pedro Pascal.
I mean, I'm into it, but it's one of these things like, okay, I know that there is lore established in the Clone Wars and in Rebels,
right?
The cartoon,
mm-hmm.
based on like the Mandalorian, or Mandalore, the planet or whatever, but I'm wondering if they're going to get into that at all. in the show. Nikki, no, we're just teasing. Are you going to pull up a chair? Just listen?
No, I'm going back.
Okay.
You can't hear anything when I walk
out.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's so loud. It's like, whew, it's bad. Nikki's got these two front pockets on her pajamas, and she's making sure. They're like 3 inches deep, but she's got her hands just shoved down in them, and they're awkwardly on the front. They're like pelvic pockets. And these are the nice. These are the nicest pair of pajamas that we sell here. They have the pelvic pocket option.
She does. Look, pelvic, she's doing.
She's yep modeling now. A pelvic pocket available. Available in all sizes. And I wish we could attach a picture of this. She's got pelvic pockets.
That's my wife, everyone.
Oh man.
So now
best.
I got an episode where my wife is here, but she doesn't talk. But then I have one of my mom, who isn't here,
who does talk.
Talking.
That was great. She's the best.
Am I on the radio?
We're better than Mannheim Steamroller. Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Oh, man. So.
All right.
All right. Well.
You want to wrap it up?
Yeah. The thing is, the last.